is the only player I know that when he came out on the field, everybody stopped. It was like the star came onto the center stage.
There's no man ever living, or ever will live, or ever be born that could hit a ball as far as Babe Ruth as consistently. I ain't talking about just one time a month.
After the 1919 scandal, why, people stayed away from baseball in droves. And then Ruth started to hit home runs. Not only that, but his personality and his charisma and his attraction and even his sins were of consequence, you see.
The home run was still in its nascent stages in 1918, when Ruth, still a pitcher, tied for the league lead in homers with 11. In 1919, he set a new record with 29 home runs, and then the next year, amazingly, he was sold to the New York Yankees. It was here that he joined the cast of characters who were to march with him through the 20s as baseball's greatest team. In 1920, he became the first player ever to hit 30 home runs, then 40, and finally an astounding total of 54. The next season, he hit 59 homers with 178 RBIs and a .378 batting average. Fair down the right field line for his 60th home run. Once again, he had broken his own record. And
when I was with Cleveland 11 years, if we'd have pitched to Ruth like they pitched to Hank Aaron or Roger Maris, if we'd have pitched to Ruth like that, instead of him hitting 60 home runs, he'd have hit 160.
What he also did better than anyone else was put people in the stands. Around the country, the name Babe Ruth was magic at the box office.
He comes to Chicago. 40,000-50,000 people, a doubleheader. 35,000 a day game. When Babe Ruth left, the next day, another team came in, 4,000 at the game. That's the appeal he had. And he hit the ball completely out of the park, over the roof. As we say in Chicago, the ball landed on Wentworth Avenue.
It was a prediction from Babe, or the myth of a prediction, that has made the 1932 World Series most memorable. To this day, controversy and discussion rage about Babe's famous called shot home run. He knew he'd hit, with a little divine intervention, quite a home run.
They were over there going crazy. And I looked down at center field and I tore it. I said, I'm going to hit the next pitch ball right past the flagpole. Well, the good Lord must have been with me.
Come out, you kid. Can you swing a bat? Looking for some balls. Right? Here's a girl right here. Can you swing a bat? Yeah. Give it to me. Right there. How about you, honey? Oh, there's just something about the game of baseball. Can you smell the hot dog? They're waiting for it. Oh, the good old soft pretzel. How about you, old timer? Can you swing a bat? Woo! Hey, we had our day, didn't we? How about you, kid? Can you swing a bat? You're not a cheerleader, are you? All right. All right. Oh, listen, thank you for coming to Home Run Sunday. Nothing like taking a ball back. Look at the pitcher right in the eye. Give me the best you got, buddy. Right down the old man. Ought to swing that bat and watch that ball sail out of the ballpark. Home run, babe. Oh, the tiptoe around those bases. And look that pitcher right in the eye. Say, I got you. Something about the game of baseball.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yeah, give him a big hand. Nothing like coming to the game of baseball. or the ball field to the game of baseball. I often said the game of baseball is the greatest game ever played. Greatest pastime in America. I often said I'll never be satisfied until every boy and girl learns to throw a ball and catch it. Something about the game of baseball. I ought to go to the ballpark and hear that umpire say, "Play ball!" Boy, to watch those athletes come out of the dugout. Oh, the shortstop. Is he athletic enough to turn the double play? What about the left fielder? Does he have a gun of an arm to throw him out at second? I like that catcher who's dressed in the armor. Can he keep the ball from going underneath his legs to keep the man on third? Oh, the catcher, he's got his eye on every play. Something about that pitcher as he digs the hole so he can plant and throw that fastball. Oh, but on the other side, there's a batter with a 52-ounce Louisville slugger. He can't wait for the call to the batter's box. He's prepared all day for that one ball close enough to get the wood on it. Oh, to hear the crack of the bat. Nothing like it. Can you smell the fresh cut green grass? Can you see the line straight as an arrow? Oh, to walk into a stadium and see those kids. You know why they come. Can the Bambino do it one more time? Can he hit the ball? I'm not talking about a pop-up. I'm not talking about a little single. I'm talking, can he knock it out of the ballpark? Oh, I saw that anticipation many times on the eyes of the kids. What you might not understand, the game of baseball was a game that I picked up at St. Mary's. The first 7 years of my life, I was heading towards trouble. My activity on a day was breaking out windows and locomotives as they came into the Camden Yards. Finally, at the age of 7, I got caught by a railroad police. He said, "George, I've been looking for you. I'm going to take you down and talk to your dad." I'll never forget it. He said, "George Senior, if you can't raise this boy, take him somewhere where they can." At the tender age of 8, they took me to St. Mary's. At the age of 5, liquor touched my lips for the first time because my living room was a sawdust floor there in a bar area that my mom and dad tended. At the age of 6, a cigar popped into my mouth as I choked, and the men giggled and laughed. Mom would say, "George, make sure you go to school." School? I'm meeting my buddies. We're going to get rocks and nail some locomotives today. Never dreamed how important school was until I went to St. Mary's. I'll never forget the first week the teacher called me up and said, "George, you're a new boy here. Can you write your name on the board so the kids can know who you are?" I'll never forget staring at that board, thinking, I don't know where to begin. I'll never forget when they took me to the long corridor of nothing but 200 beds. And mine was on the end, and she said, "George, this is where you'll sleep." She didn't know it, but in my heart, I've never seen white sheets. The smell, I'll never forget. She'll say, "Every week we'll wash these for you, George." And she said, "This is your locker. This is where you'll put your ball and your glove." Well, I didn't know what she meant, but boy, I found out on recess when I got in a big old fight with another bully. "I'm going to let him know you don't mess with George, Ruth." But before I knew it, I heard a deep voice. "Boys, we don't fight here at St. Mary's. We learn to play that game of baseball. What's your name, kid?" "George." "George, we don't fight here, young man. Look over the hill here. This is a ball field. Meet me tonight." And I'll never forget the first time in my life I ever touched a ball. He pitched it to me. He said, now throw it back to me, George. And I threw him back with my left hand. He chuckled. He said, you're a southpaw. Boy, it wasn't long. I was on the team. It wasn't long. We was winning championships. What you might not know, I wasn't just known for the big hitter. I wasn't just known for 714 home runs. I got into the majors because I could throw a ball. And I'll never forget Brother Matthias saying, now, George, if you're going to do it, son, do it big. I was a catcher for years, and I got to chuckling one day because our pitchers couldn't find the plate, for crying out loud, it's only 17 inches wide. And I got to laughing, and time out! Brother Matthias said, George, you got a problem back there? I said, our pitching's horrible. Get your gear off, boy. Head towards the mound. Oh, no, everything will be fine. Come on now, strike right here, right over the plate. No, you done open your mouth, boy. Get your gear off, and I'll never forget the first time I ever towed the mound. I felt like I was born to be out there. And from that moment, something struck a chord in me to learn to throw that ball across that plate. Brother Matthias taught me the angles, the heights, the off-speed, the fast, the curve, the slider. Everything that could be taught, he took time to develop. And a young boy that spent 7 years of his life breaking windows that would only end up later in years breaking records that still stand today. All the game of baseball turned my life around. And before you know it, at the tender age of 19, Jack Dunn come knocking on my door. And next thing you know, I was in minor league baseball. You say, well, how'd you do, George? Well, first time up, I struck out. It wasn't long. Within a year, they sent me back down to the minors after they took me up. I'm just trying to tell you what you think's all true is not really true. I had a temper problem. I had a woman problem. I had an alcohol problem. My life was a mess. But thank God there was a one man that kind of kept me between the grooves. He said, George, you got an awful lot of kids out there watching you. George, make sure whatever you do, paper's going to write about it. Make sure it's positive. George, don't you ever forget, you was a kid going nowhere. But St. Mary's brought you in and loved on you and cared for you. There's some other kids out there needs somebody to be a role model. I'll never forget those words. Brother Matthias would pull us in as a team and say, now listen, boys, before you hit the field, may I just remind you the game of baseball is the greatest game ever played. And I'll never forget these words. It deserves the best you can give it. Man, if they thought that about baseball, church, what in the world should we be doing? The Bambino had some great moments in his life. And I want to preach this morning on great moments. 1923, they built a brand new stadium called the House that Ruth Built. 68,000 people was inside, 12,000 on the outside. I told my wife that morning, baby, I would give a year of my life if I could hit a home run on opening day to make these kids smile and to bring these fans to their feet. All the pressure. Everyone come to see the Bambino. I'm glad to tell you, the second time up, check it out. He got a hold of a ball and completely took it out of the ballpark. People stand, great moment in his life. Before you know it, 1932 rolled around the World Series. The called shot was a great moment. What you might not know, Chicago Cubs hated Babe Ruth. Him and Lou Gehrig already hit a home run first time up at bat. Bananas, apples were on the field thrown at him. Babe, you're too fat to swing the bat. You'll never make it to first base. Babe said, I don't have to run, I'll trot after I knock it out. But I'll never forget that second time up, trying to dodge the apples and the gestures and the mockery. What you won't read about is the first few pitches. I even looked at the pitcher, Charlie. Said, Charlie, You're having a bad day. I'm going to bat right-handed. Strike one. Ooh, wait a minute here. Strike two. Just teasing. I think I'll go left now. And he said, you know what? It only takes one, and the next pitch ball hit right past the flagpole. And he took his bat back and set his feet and let go of that bat, and the ball to this day was the longest ball ever hit out of that ball field. What a great moment. Have you had any great moments? Take your Bible, please, to Mark chapter 8. Look what he says there in verse 36. If you're there and ready, say amen. Amen. Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? And here's the words I want you to see. Lose his own soul. In the context, he's really talking to Christians. God help us not to get so wrapped up in the temporary that we don't invest in the eternal. If you think about it, once you're in hell, you can't come out. There's no timeout. There's no second shots. Amen? You better get it right while you're living. Because once you die that second death, that eternal death, it's over. And he says here, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose? Interesting word, waste your life. You realize, sinner, every day you live without Christ is a wasted day. Don't count for nothing. You're lost, you're still in among the ungodly, you're still a child of disobedience, you're heading straight to hell. When you die and go to hell, you'll be forgotten. It's as if you never lived. Your name's not recorded anywhere. You had a past, but nobody knows other than this. You wasn't saved, and you are forgotten. Where are you at? In the sides of the earth in a place called hell. Who's going to get me out? Nobody. Only Jesus could, but you didn't let him. That's Bible. Look what he says in verse 37. What shall a man give in exchange? The idea is once we die, we can't go back. We can't get time back. Hey, listen, today's a precious few minutes for you, sinner. These minutes right here could change your life forever. Once this day passes, you can't get it back. Only thing we have is what we did yesterday. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know one thing. You got to make a decision, and the greatest moment in anybody's life is when they give their heart to Christ. Amen. Bible reminds us of that. Salvation is precious. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 says this, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The word save means to set you free. You realize sin has you in bondage. Sin's leading you towards destruction. I mean, you're under the wrath of God. The heartbeat of God is that He loves you. And He sent His only begotten. Amen. He wasn't just any son. He was God's divine Son. Amen. Who came to bear your sins on Calvary. Why, preacher? That He might set you free. Thank God those of us that are saved will never face the wrath of God. That's His heartbeat. Salvation is the greatest moment of your life. Are you saved? Can you go back to that place, that time where God spoke to you and called you? You can feel the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And by faith, you stepped in. Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May I remind you, all have sinned and come short. Preacher, I'm not that bad. No, your problem is you're looking at the wrong standard. Amen? You and I fall short. We're guilty. No righteousness whatsoever. But there is a righteousness that's available. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can take the rags of sin off of you and put on you the robe of righteousness. It's God's heartbeat. It's the greatest moment in your life. Give your heart to Christ while you can. Salvation's precious. Bible says in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, John said, which taketh away the sin of the world. You realize that Babe Ruth was a game changer. 14 times in his career, he walked up to the plate with bases loaded or with no runs, and it was in extra innings. And Babe Ruth would deliver the final blow as he would take the ball out of the ballpark and bring the runners in. Game over.
You know what John's saying? Which taketh away. The idea is when Christ paid for it, He paid for it once and for all. Amen? I don't have to go to the cross. I'm not waiting for someone else to go to the cross. The Lamb has already been there, made the price. God is satisfied. The door is open. Whosoever will, let him come. Thank God it's paid for. Jesus is a game changer. And He knocked it out of the ballpark so you can be set free. Have you had that great moment? Have you ever invited Christ into your heart? Where would you spend eternity if you die right now? Where would you go? Preacher, I've got plenty of time. Who told you that? You don't know that. Every day you've lifted or you've lived prior to this don't count for anything. But thank God Jesus has the authority to reach back in the midst of all your sins and all the times you miss and just cover it and satisfy God. Your past can be covered. Your present can be sustained. And your future is preserved. Hey, the greatest moment in your life, give your heart to Christ. Get it settled. Because once you miss it, it ain't coming back. Oh, thank God for great moments. But after you get saved, it's a great moment to take your stand in believer's baptism. Man, when I got baptized, my dad was a pastor. He said, man, let's call aunts and uncles. Let's make sure everybody understands that this day is a special day. It's a great moment in your life. Some of you, maybe you're sitting here and you would say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Ain't that good enough? Yeah, it's good enough to get you into heaven, but now you need to identify. There's a world out there that needs to know what happened. Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What does baptism do? Number one, it lets you know and the world know I'm not ashamed that I've got a new master. I was in sin under the domain of the devil. He was my father, basically. I was following him because of the disobedience of the first Adam. But Jesus has moved in. Amen? And thank God the last Adam now sits on my throne. And I'm not ashamed to let my family know, my neighbors know in the baptism that Jesus Christ lives in me. Secondly, the Bible talks about it's a new master. To confess, thirdly, it talks about I got a message. Baptism is a picture that I'm dying out. But the same Spirit that rose Christ up now lives in me. Amen? And thank God I can live a holy life. I can walk worthy. I can live in truth. Why? Because the Spirit of truth lives in me. I have the Word of truth. Jesus is the truth. Hey, listen, my life has changed. It is changed. It ought to continue to change. Why? I've got a new master that I'm following. Baptism is a great moment in our lives. Thirdly, the Bible talks about you need to join a team. I mean, a great moment is what team do you belong to? I'm with Holy Hills Baptist Church. We're still King James, and you ought to be because, thank God, there's only one real Bible. Amen? And I'm glad we're still churches that will hold up the King James and say it's pure, it's from God, it'll work. You better check what team you're going to be a part of. Babe Ruth, you can check it out. Every team that he was a part of stepped up. They had greater stats, greater winning percentage, all because of a man who made a contribution to his team. Holy Hills, you're busting at the seams. You got great things going on. You're looking at a bigger church. Thank God. Man, we need, listen, if the kids don't get it from us, where are they going to get it from? Schools, they don't have any authority anymore. Our colleges have taken Bibles out. You realize by the time they go through the social media and the secular college, they'll teach them to be atheists. Thank God for a good team, amen, where I can bring my family to Sunday school and let them hear about Jesus and the love of God and the Word of God. Hey, thank God for my marriage I can be instructed. There's a right way versus a wrong way, amen. I'm glad with my money. What do I do? It's not mine, it's His. God's team needs to be coached. God's given you a pastor and men to lead this team 22 pennants and championships. But you know what? Some of you are sitting here. You've never joined. Float in, float out. Not committed. Camping's more important. Taking your kids to... Lord, I don't want to say anything that... We've turned our kids into Baal worshipers. We teach them that baseball trumps church. Well, I made a commitment to the team. What team is greater, a baseball team or God's team? Local church, it's a place where there's training. I love going to the ball fields. I love baseball. And they start out like, can you catch that? You know? And then one of them's like, oh, yeah. What's that? That's the ball, son. Get in the back of the line. And then you throw it to someone, he just catches it and whips it back. You know what, you know what he's telling you? I've been here. Daddy's had me out. We need some daddies out there that'll still be daddies. I can't tell you how many moms I've seen grab that thing. I don't know. Just do the best you can, Joey. And then she has a sugar stick. I'll give you one if you go out there to the infield. I'll give you two of them if you'll just be quiet. I mean, that's the world we live in. Thank God for local churches. I benefit from your institution here. The church that I pastor benefits from everything you're doing here. Thank God for churches with the social media and Facebook and sermon audio where we can get on there and get some great teaching to help our people out. Why? Because if we don't train them, the world will. Thank God for a local church. This is your team. You ought to wear your collars good. Amen. You'll find in Acts chapter 2, there's training, there's fellowship, there's prayer, there's testifying, there's reaching out, there's glorifying, there's edification. All that was built within a team. Believe it or not, you've got gifts that I don't have, vice versa. But if we all find our part and all be instructed to be the best that we can be, and understand that it's not about us, but it's about Him. It'll be amazing what happens here at Holy Hills in 5 years and 10 years. You got a whole nother team sitting out here just waiting for someone to say, hey, instruct me, teach me, fellowship with me. Hey, teach me to hit a home run. Teach me to throw the ball. What is soul winning? What is a King James Bible? If we don't teach it, who will? We need local churches. You've got a dandy here. What are you waiting on? Jump on. Get involved. Make this team better. Fourthly, we need discipleship. Ephesians 4, verse 12 through 16 talks about the perfecting of the saints. I mean, that's honing in. That's using our skills. That's learning who we are now that we're saved. It's understanding that God lives in me. It's understanding that this body's neutral. It just does what it's told. Who am I yielding to? Hey, listen, we need discipleship. Folks, you got two classrooms back there. I know once or twice a week you're back there because I see it. I set our people down and they watch your old video while your pastor or other instructors teach. We are eating from the same honey tree that you are. It's good. Thank God for discipleship. Sit at His feet and learn. What about tithing? That's a great moment when you realize... this ain't my money. This is God's. And I'm a steward. I've got to learn to be responsible enough to understand spiritually that 10% of this goes to the church, to the team. And then over and above that, it could be missions. Hey, by the way, you can't outgive Him. It all belongs to Him. And in whatever measure you give, He gives back more than what you gave. You'd be crazy to close your billfold. Open it up and say, God, I'm learning to tithe to the work of the Lord. That's a great moment. Some of you are looking at me. You rob God. You're driving cars you can't afford. That's your tithe. Buy them shoes and dresses. Make sure the kids look the best. No one else knows it, but you know it. And the heaviness in your heart, the grieving of the Holy Spirit, who said, I've entrusted you with $1,000 a week, and you're robbing me. May I just remind you, God will get it one way or another. Oh, the joy of great moments. God, I don't want you to have to squeeze it out of me. I don't want you to have to force it out of me. God, you love a cheerful giver. I know enough about you in this book to know I'm a winner when my heart's right. Give unto the local church. It's great moments. What about being a soul winner? Everybody's got a place in your house where you got big bucks. Man, you can just about smell it. You tell me, yeah, I got that one. The spread, man, is 14 inches, the height, you know. Probably been out there 7 years. Proud of it. Got the date on it. What'd you shoot it with? Oh, I use a 30-06. Blowed him away. Meat's in the freezer. And then you'll show me a squirrel. You'll show me a bear. You've been all across the world, and there they are, man. You're proud of your mounts. That's what I done. Can you imagine if we'd have a house where we had pictures of men and women where we prayed and agonized for, and God used us to be soul winners because we prayed for them and agonized that God would get a hold of their heart. Hey, you want to be proud of something? Be a soul winner, amen? Be proud of some folks you've led to Calvary and let Jesus change their lives. Never seen a room like that in anybody's house. We show off our boats. Our Kubota tractors, John Deere. We got our trophies in our garages of animals. But where's our real trophies at? Where's souls? When's the last time you won someone to the Lord? Think about what all goes in before you hunt. Cabela's. Boy, you get that money. Some have been, your wife don't even know it's in your billfold. You're saving. It takes a lot of bullets because you're a bad shot. You've already got permission. I know guys that pay, Pastor, somebody so much money for them to hunt on there. Lease it out. You're talking about lottery. And we go out there hoping. The money, the time, we take the smell, we check the wind. Everything's got to be just perfect. I love the sport. I love it. But isn't it amazing? All the time it goes in to kill an animal, and we won't lift a finger to reach a soul. A great moment is where you work, whatever stream that you're swimming in. Listen, there's lost people in there. That's what Peter was trying to learn. God said, listen, Peter, you are catching fish and they'll die tomorrow. I'm looking for someone that'll catch dead men that they might live forever. Amen? See the difference, Peter? You're fishing for the wrong fish. All great moments, we need it. Thank God for salvation, baptism. Thank God for a local church. God, help us to be faithful in our tithes and our offerings. God, help us to be a soul winner. I close with this. Will you be a Hall of Famer? Oh, there's only a few of them. But every church has had them. We ought to be building them. We ought to be reloading. Do you have a desire, when it's all said and done, that you could be a Hall of Famer? Not that you was perfect, just that you was sensitive enough to get it right. You grew into adulthood, 1 John talks about. You didn't stay in a babyhood. You didn't stay a young man. You didn't go back to carnality. You fought those things. You yielded to a greater influence. You was taught. You was, listen, the word, what power is, it's a current that only God has. God said there's a power, there's an enablement out there for you, and when you're ready for it, I'll put you on it. You'll be like an eagle. You'll soar. But I can't do it when you live and act in disobedience. I can't do it when you don't give me time. You realize there's a resource out there that a lot of us have never tapped into? My message is simple. What great moments have you had Have you ever been born again? If not, listen to me close. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Every day you lived, I'm sorry, it don't mount to a hill of beans. It don't count for nothing. There's no heroes in hell. Hell's a real place. There's people there right now that would love to be sitting in that seat so they can come forward. But they just like you to listen to a voice that just said maybe tomorrow. And next thing you know, you procrastinate yourself right into a real place called hell and you can't get out. The greatest moment in your life, give your heart to Christ. If you haven't been baptized, you ought to come see the pastor and say, whatever we need to do, let's talk about it. If you haven't joined this church, you ought to come and say, preacher, this is my kind of team, and I'm learning. I want to play. God, help me to be a part of this. Whatever it is, have some great moments. This is a hard one. If you got this mentality where you haven't even thought about winning a soul for weeks, months, or years, God help us to get broken for people that are broken. And the only hope they have is Christ. And God has put us here to help reconcile men to God. Folks, I sold sweepers for years. And the only way I could sell it is pitch it. Every lady's house I went into, she thought her carpet was perfect. It was my job to show her she had dirt. And I'd put that white sheet of paper on my cleaner after she ran her cleaner. And sometimes it sounded like the basement was coming through the door. Sometimes it wasn't quite as bad, but I knew it might take one spread to 50 spreads. But I kept building my case with dirt after dirt after dirt after dirt until finally she would look at me and go, "How much is that?" There's a whole world out there that thinks they're okay. Until we pitch the product that you're not okay. All have sinned, come short. The wages of sin is death. There's no righteousness in us. Righteousness is in Christ. It can be. You got to teach it. You got to pitch it. But until we pitch it, we'll never sell it. How long has it been since you've pulled the Lord out of the box and pitched Him? We need some great moments, church. Why did Christ or Paul say, "Awake, thou that sleepest"? Awake, church! There's a work to be done. Open your eyes. Occupy it. That word occupy means do business. Don't close down. Turn your sign over. I haven't come back yet. Church, I need you. Get busy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'll come for the invitation, prepare. God, we're grateful for your word. We need it.